This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
First Precinct, Sergeant Waters. Shooting where? Well, who's shooting? Well, are there police officers there? Yeah. Where are you?
You are in the muster room at the 21st Precinct, the nerve center. A call is coming through. You will follow the action taken pursuant to that call from this minute until the final report is written in the 124 room at the 21st Precinct.
All right. Don't worry about it. I'm sending more officers over there. That's right. They're on the way, okay? Okay, thanks.
It's just lines on a map of the city of New York. Most of the 173,000 people wedged into the 9/10 of a square mile between Fifth Avenue and the East River wouldn't know if you asked them that they lived or worked in the 21st. Whether they know it or not, the security of their homes, their persons, and their property is the job of the men of the 21st Precinct.
The 21st, 160 patrolmen, 11 sergeants, and 4 lieutenants, of whom I'm the boss. My name is Kennelly, Frank Kennelly. I'm captain in command of the 21st. I had finished my night tour at 8 a.m. and was not due back on the job for 24 hours. A precinct commander's duty chart is arranged so that there's at least one captain on the job in each division at all times. He reports for his day tour at 8 a.m. and is on the job until 6 p.m. Then, normally, he is off duty until the beginning of his night tour at 4 o'clock the following afternoon and works until 8 o'clock the next morning. But on duty or off, the precinct is still the captain's responsibility, and he is subject to call by the desk officer in the event of any major crime or unusual occurrence. Nothing out of the ordinary occurred in the precinct until 10:18 p.m., when Detectives Novak and Fitzpatrick of the 21st Squad, who had been investigating an apartment burglary, were returning to the station house, heading downtown on Lexington Avenue.
So, what good is a manager without a team?
That's not the point. The point is a good manager has to have a chance to build a good team. You can't expect a guy like Dressen to come into a club like Washington and build a pennant winner in 1 year. He's got to have a chance. He's got to have a chance to build the young players up and make a team out of them. Now listen, when the light changes, take a right. I want to stop by that delicatessen and show them a few pictures I'm carrying.
Oh, George's?
Yeah, there have been some delicatessen stick-ups down in the 15th, too. I had some mugshots pulled on a couple of boys they think might be right for them. I'd like to have George take a look at them.
Okay. You take a guy like Dressen.
Yeah.
What's he going to do with Washington in 1 year? He didn't perform any miracles out there with that Oakland, California team in 1 year, did he? What?
Hold it here.
What's the matter?
That looks like Dutch Soaker.
Who's Dutch Soaker?
He's that friend of Harvey Brider's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, park the car.
There he goes into that bar and grill.
Hello, Dutch.
Yeah. Oh, hi. How've you been?
How've you been?
Oh, I can't complain. Let's see, where do I know you from? Where do you work out of?
21st Squad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Now, you should. Now, let's go sit in the booth over there. I want to talk to you.
Well, I just ordered a bottle of beer.
Well, you can drink it in the booth.
Yeah, I guess I can. Hey, listen, can I have that beer when it's taken to the booth?
Okay, it's coming.
How about one for you?
No, thanks.
Can't give it to you till I take the cap off the bottle.
I just wanted to move to the booth.
35 out of a half.
Ah, forget it, huh?
Some for you?
Not right now. Come on, Dutch.
Yeah. You sure you won't have something?
No, not right now. Sit down.
Yeah. Well, it's nice running into you.
I didn't just run into you, Dutch.
Oh, didn't you?
A call came over for us to ring in.
Oh, yeah? This is my partner, Detective John Fitzpatrick, Dutch Soak.
Hello.
How are you?
Move in a little bit, Dutch.
Yeah, sure.
I better ring in first.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be right back.
Can we order him something?
No, I don't think so. Where are you living now, Dutch?
Well, still the same place, sir.
Where's that?
619 St. George Street.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah, in Brooklyn, yeah.
What are you doing up here?
Well, you know, I just come up to see a friend.
Where is he?
Well, I seen him already. I just thought I'd stop in and have a beer before I got the subway home.
Where are you working?
The same place, you know, truck terminal.
You're working steady?
Yeah, sure. Every day.
What do you hear from Harvey?
Harvey? I didn't hear anything from Harvey.
Well, he broke out nearly a week ago. You mean he hasn't been in touch with you?
No, he hasn't been in touch with me. Why would he get in touch with me?
I thought you were such good friends.
Oh, listen, you guys got the wrong impression. We weren't good friends. We just knew each other, that's all. I had a beer or two with him once in a while. I don't see why that makes us such good friends. I'm having a beer with you. That doesn't make us bosom buddies, does it?
Not necessarily.
Sure.
Hey, I had another flat burglary on Madison Avenue.
Yeah?
Whitey wanted us to take the squeal. I told him we were tied up.
Okay.
He's giving it to Woods and Vitale. Move over, Dutch.
Yeah.
Dutch says he hasn't seen or heard from Harvey.
Now, look, I don't know why you should come after me just because I'm acquainted with the guy. All the information I got was in the newspapers. I know a couple of months ago you wanted to talk to him for shooting up some guy on the docks. I know you couldn't find him. I know he was collared up in Boston after a stick-up. Some guy got killed there. I know he walked out of jail up there last week. I didn't hear from the guy. I didn't see him. I don't want to hear from him. He's too heavy for me. You get mixed up with a guy like that, it can lead to nothing but trouble. I don't want any part of him.
I don't blame you, Dutch.
That's the truth, now. I don't want any part of him. Guy is trigger happy. I got enough troubles of my own. I don't need his, too, you know.
How much short time you owe Dutch?
I owe them about 19 months.
What was that on?
Oh, it's still that same 2.5 to 5 bit grand larceny.
It was hijacking a truck, wasn't it?
Oh, there wasn't any hijacking involved in the first place. Driver wasn't stuck up at all. That trailer was just parked there in a lot. It was broken open. Some guys broke it open.
What do you mean, some guys? It was you, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't me.
You pleaded guilty?
Yeah, well, I figured the cop out was the cheapest thing to do. I couldn't go argue with them. So I copped out for 2.5 to 5. I did 20 months. I owe them 19.
Have you been seeing your parole officer regularly?
Yeah, sure. I'm okay in that department.
Been living up to your parole conditions in all respects?
You betcha. All respect. I'm clean as a whistle.
And getting home by midnight?
Every night. Now, it's 10:30 now. You know, I'd be home by 11:15, 11:20 if I didn't stop to talk to you.
You haven't been seeing any of the boys, have you?
Oh, I told you, I don't run with that kind of crowd anymore. I'm a hard-working man. I got to be on that job 7:30 in the morning, yeah?
How have you been as far as the drinking is concerned?
Oh, now, listen, I stopped in here for one beer.
You're not supposed to stop in for any.
Yeah, but have a heart.
You're supposed to abstain completely from intoxicating liquors.
One beer, fellas. Now, listen.
And you're supposed to walk right by bars, not go in them.
Now, look, you're not going to make me go back and do that whole 19 months just for one beer, are you? You got to be reasonable at some point.
It's not up to us to make you go back.
I know, but you give a bad report to my parole officer, and I'm back up at Sing Sing, sitting out that 19 months. Oh, now listen, fellas, be fair, will you? One lousy beer? You're not going to hang a man over one beer.
Now, you missed the point, Dutch. You're supposed to cooperate with police officers, not lie to them.
What do you mean, lie to them? I didn't lie to you. When did I lie to you?
You told us you hadn't seen or heard from Harvey.
Well, I didn't. What do you want from me?
Just the truth, Dutch, that's all.
I'm telling you the truth.
I tell you what we'll do, Dutch.
Look, all I'm asking you to do is be reasonable, huh? One lousy beer.
I will take a ride over to station.
Oh, fellas.
We'll put it up to the lieutenant.
It's the first time I've been in a bar since I got out.
Well, looks like it's also going to be the last time.
The two detectives, William Novak and John Fitzpatrick, took the parolee and known acquaintance of escaped killer Harvey Brider to their car and drove to the station house. There they parked, and at 10:51 p.m. they walked up the 3 stone steps into the muster room, past Lieutenant Snyder, who was desk officer, and Sergeant Collins, who was on switchboard duty, and into the back room where 2 division plainclothes men were questioning, prior to booking, a woman they had arrested on charges of disorderly conduct. They escorted Dutch up the rickety stairs to the second floor where the office of the 21st Detective Squad is located.
Right over there, Dutch.
I know where to go.
Okay.
Listen, one lousy beer. Be reasonable.
It's not the one beer, Dutch. It's the principle of the thing.
What principle?
Go ahead. Whitey?
Yeah.
Did the lieutenant get in?
Yeah, he's in his office.
I'll keep him here a minute, Fitz.
Yeah.
Federal case over one beer.
Novak, Lieutenant.
Come in. Not the one on job, but in the morning.
Yes, Novak? Now listen, Lieutenant.
Yeah?
You know that Harvey Bryder that broke out of jail in Boston last week?
The one that's also wanted here on a homicide charge?
Yes, sir.
What about him?
Now, Fitz and I picked up a friend of his in a bar over on Lexington Avenue.
Yeah?
There's a fellow named Dutch Sokin. He traveled around a lot with Harvey.
You know where Harvey is?
He says he doesn't, Lieutenant, but he hasn't given us a straight answer yet.
What's going to make him give straight answers?
He owes 19 months short time.
Yeah?
We collared him in a bar. He was having a drink. I think he's worried about that 19 months.
Where is he?
Fitz has got him outside.
All right, bring him in.
Yes, sir. Fitz!
Yeah?
Come on in.
What does he owe this short time for?
Grand larceny, Lieutenant.
Right in there, Judge.
Okay, yeah.
Close the door, Novak.
Yes, sir. Lieutenant King, Dutch Sokin.
Sit down, Dutch.
Hang me over one bottle, one beer.
Sit down. All right. Where's Harvey?
I told them I don't know. I haven't seen him. I haven't heard from him. What do you want from me?
Dutch, these detectives told me you haven't given them a straight answer in an hour. Now, you've seen Harvey. Or you've heard from him, haven't you?
No, sir.
Where is he?
I don't know. I told them I don't know. How many times they have to ask me? I don't know anything. I told him I don't want to run with that kind of guy anymore. It just means trouble, that's all, trouble.
You owe 19 months short time, and they collared you in a bar.
I was having a beer, one beer, Lutzett.
That's one too many. What's the name of your parole officer?
Oh, now, look, be reasonable, will you?
Who's your parole officer?
I don't want to go back to do that 19 months over one beer. I ask you to be fair. Just be fair with me.
We've been asking you to be fair with us, Dutch.
Listen, can you forget about this if I see what I can do to help you out? I'm willing to trade, Lieutenant. I just want to be sure I'm on firm ground.
Dutch, you've got a long way to go before you're on firm ground. Now, you help us. I promise I'll talk to the man. Where's Harvey?
I don't know.
That's not helping.
I don't know. I only heard from him.
When?
Yesterday. I was hustling, packing cases on the job. The foreman came over. He said there was an important telephone call for me. I went to the office. I got it. It was Harvey.
Is he in New York?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in New York. I told him, look, Harvey, you're too hot. I don't want anything to do with you. He said, I got to do him a favor. I said, I don't want to see you, Harvey. I don't want anything to do with you. He said all he wanted to do was me to contact his girl. I should make arrangements for them to make a meet.
Who's she?
Her name's Dorothy. Dorothy Kirk.
Where's she live?
372 East 80th.
Did you contact her?
Yeah. That's where I was tonight. I was there, contact, and I was giving her the message. That's all. That's all I told him I would do. Only give her the message. That's all. I didn't want anything else to do with it.
What was the message?
Message was that she was to call a certain telephone number at 10 o'clock. That's all.
What telephone number?
Pennsylvania 65599.
Where's that?
I don't know. I haven't any idea. He said she don't have a phone. He didn't want to risk going there. He just... Give me this number. He told me to have her call. That's all I know, Lieutenant. That's all I wanted to do with it.
Okay.
All right, now look, I helped you out. You going to do something for me? I don't want to do that 19 months over one little beer. That's a long time. Yeah, I've been okay otherwise. I've been clean as a whistle.
Yeah, Dutch, maybe you have. Trouble is, there are all kinds of whistles.
You are listening to 21st Precinct, a factual account of the way the police work in the world's largest city. This is the second trial you've had since they accused you of a crime you didn't commit. As you sit there in the crowded courtroom, you know that there'll be another trial, and another if necessary, until finally the jury brings in a verdict of guilty. That's the way they want it. You wouldn't sign their phony confession. They can't pile up enough real evidence to make the charges stick. So this will go on and on until the jury is worn down, until that jury is ready to hang you rather than go through another trial. Well, there's a very good reason why you could never get in a spot like that.
It's against the law. Against the highest law of our land. You can't be placed in double jeopardy. You can't be tried again and again for the same offense where your life is at stake. The words that protect you against it are found in our Constitution, the fifth article of our Bill of Rights. Listen to what they say. No person shall be subject for the same offense to be twice placed in jeopardy of life or limb. That law goes clear back to the first Congress in 1789, City of New York. The group of men who gathered there to sign the Bill of Rights had you in mind. They were mindful of all the people and determined that the rights and freedoms of the people should never be ignored or denied. The Fifth Amendment is part of those rights. It is one of our freedoms.
Now back to 21st Precinct and Captain Kennelly.
Lieutenant King and his detectives interrogated Dutch for some time longer until they finally concluded that he knew no more than he had told them. In the meantime, the telephone number was checked out. It was a pay station in a bar and grill on 8th Avenue in the Times Square district. Lieutenant King sent detectives Howard and Vitale to the place. There was no sign of Harvey Brider. Neither the bartender nor three waitresses there remembered him, nor could they identify his photograph. One of them, however, recalled that the pay telephone did ring about 10 o'clock and that a man sitting at a nearby table walked into the booth to answer. At 10 minutes to 12, Lieutenant King and Detective Novak left the station house and drove to the address of Dorothy Kurt, 372 East 80th Street, given to them by Dutch. They parked down the street from the old four-story tenement building and got out of their car to meet Detectives Fitzpatrick and Scanlon, who had been sent to plant the building while the questioning of Dutch was in progress.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Fitz.
Yes, sir. Here, Lieutenant.
Hi, Fitz.
Novak?
Where's Scanlon?
Across the street there in the doorway to the cleaners.
Oh, yeah. What'd you find out?
I talked to the super. She lives in the second floor front, all right.
Uh-huh.
She's got two rooms. She lives there alone.
Does she have any visitors recently?
Well, the super told me he hadn't noticed any.
Do you know whether she's home?
There was a light up there a little while ago. It was turned out about 11:30.
Which window is it?
Those two up there. Second floor, this side. Hmm. The super said the one towards this end of the building is in the living room. The other's in the bedroom.
Okay, let's go.
Yes, sir.
Did you get any more out of Dutch?
Nah, nothing.
Well, I guess we don't need any more.
Yeah.
Front door is open.
Okay, hold it. Signal Scanlon to move over to this side when we go in.
Yes, sir. Okay, Lieutenant.
All right. Get the door.
Yes, sir.
Go on. Now watch your step. She might have met him and brought him home.
Yes, sir.
She might have, yeah.
Okay. Okay, go on. I'll do the talking.
Yes, sir.
In front there.
Okay. Get set.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'll have to get this fixed.
Well, who is it?
It's Dutch.
Who?
Dutch.
Now it sounded...
Police officers.
Listen.
Where's Harvey? Is he here?
No.
Watch for Fitz.
He's not here.
We'll take a look.
He's not in there.
Watch it. Kick the door open. Okay. That closet. You set?
Yes, sir. How about the bathroom?
Okay. All right, open it up.
There's the light. Push back the shower curtain.
Yes, sir. That's nothing but laundry.
Okay. Come on.
Yes, sir. Think she knows where he is?
We'll find out if she does.
Falling in my bedroom like that.
All right, just sit down.
I told you he wasn't here. You could have believed me.
Where is he?
I don't know.
You spoke to him at 10 o'clock.
Who told you that, Dutch?
Doesn't make any difference who told us.
It'll make a difference to Dutch.
Now, look, you're in big trouble. This guy Harvey is as hot as a $2 pistol for homicide. One here and one in Boston. Better stop thinking about him. Start thinking about yourself a little bit.
I didn't do anything. You can't hurt me.
You've hurt yourself enough already. I'm not kidding you. You're in big trouble. Where is he?
I told you, I don't know.
What'd you talk about on the phone?
I didn't say I talked to him. Dutch said that.
All right, Novak. Not getting any place here. Let's go.
Come on, miss.
Wait a minute. Where am I going?
Where do you think?
You've got no right to put me in jail. I didn't do anything. I didn't do a thing.
You've been harboring a fugitive.
I haven't been harboring anybody.
I wouldn't be surprised if you helped him escape.
What are you talking about? I didn't have anything to do with that.
You can tell us all about it at the station house. Better put some comfortable clothes on and pack a few things to take with you.
What do you mean, pack a few things?
Well, you better take your toothbrush and toothpaste and anything else you think you might need in the next 3 or 4 days.
3 or 4 days?
If you're lucky.
Now, wait a minute. I didn't do anything. I was just sitting here in New York minding my own business, that's all. You can't put me in jail for minding my own business. Can he?
Lieutenant, maybe she wants to help us. Maybe she's just scared of Harvey.
You go in there with her, Novak. See that she gets those things together.
Is that right? Are you just scared of him?
Well, sure I'm scared of him. I'm scared to death of him. He killed 2 people, didn't he? What do you want me to do, be not scared of him?
Well, if you're scared of him, we're willing to help you. Is that right, Lieutenant?
She wants it all one way. She wants help, but she doesn't want to give any. Let's go. We're wasting time around here.
Better go in and get your things together, miss.
Look, tell him I want to help him. I'll help him if I can.
You better get your stuff together.
You're not giving me a chance now. I told you I'd help you.
All right. You want to help us? Tell me where Harvey is.
I don't know. I really don't. Honestly, I swear it. Not right now.
You spoke to him on the phone tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, I spoke to him. Dutch brought a message here that I should call a number. I don't remember what it is. I got it written down. I got it written down over there.
Never mind. We know it.
Well, Dutch brought the number. He said I should call it. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock on the note. Well, I got no phone up here, so I went down to the candy store at 10 o'clock and I made the call. It was Harvey.
What did he want?
Well, he asked me if I heard what happened to him. I told him I did. He said he was looking for a place to stay. He asked me if he could stay here, and I told him no, he couldn't stay here. I said that was out of the question. He said I had to help him because he was in a big jam and hot as a firecracker. He said I just had to help him.
In what way did he want you to help him?
Well, he said he needed money, Mose. You see, when he was in New York before, he left $300 with me. He said he wanted it back. He asked me if I had it. I told him sure I had it. He said, all right, he'd meet me. Meet me tomorrow morning.
Did you make a date?
Yeah, I made a date with him. Tomorrow morning, 9:30.
Where?
He said I should be on the uptown platform at the 77th Street Station, the Lexington Avenue subway. He'd get off the train 9:30 tomorrow morning.
You told him you were going to meet him?
Yeah. I told him I was, but I wasn't. I was going to pack up and go to my sister's house tonight.
Why?
Well, tell you the truth, I spent the $300.
The girl, Dorothy Kirk, was taken to the station house by Lieutenant King and Detective Novak. Detectives Scanlon and Fitzpatrick remained on a plant at the building in the event the fugitive showed up during the night. Lieutenant King notified Lieutenant Snyder, the desk officer on the job, and informed him that the subway station at Lexington Avenue and 77th Street would be the scene of considerable police activity in the morning. Lieutenant Snyder called me at my home at 4:30 a.m. and gave me a report of the situation. Immediately upon arrival at the station house, I signed the blotter and went upstairs to confer with Lieutenant King. At 8:30 a.m., detectives and uniformed officers began to man the posts assigned to them on the street and on the subway platform. At 8:50, it was decided to change plans slightly. The girl, Dorothy Kurt, would remain at the station house. It was planned originally that she stand on the platform where the fugitive could see her. This idea was abandoned as too dangerous for the girl. At 9:05, I joined Lieutenant King at his post next to a bench near the center of the platform. We waited. By 9:20, the fugitive had not shown up. He hadn't come by 9:31. He was late.
Here comes another train, I think, Captain.
It's an express, Matt.
Yes, sir.
Well, the local shouldn't be far behind.
32 minutes after, Captain.
What?
32 minutes after 9.
Yeah.
Think he's gonna show?
Well, he'd better, after all our preparation.
Yeah, but it still wouldn't surprise me if he was supposed to meet that girl some other time, some other place.
Wait a minute. Here comes the local.
Yes, sir. Looks like everybody's set. He's coming. You ought to be on this one.
7 cars.
See him, Captain?
Nope.
Way down there. Last car. That might be him.
Novak made him. Come on.
He's heading this way.
Novak! Watch out! Come on.
Take cover, Captain. Get behind that scale.
Right.
Where is he? You see him?
There he is! He's down at the end of the platform. There he is!
Duck! Go back! Do you see him?
He's over there behind that bench. The bench down at the end.
Keep your head down.
Stay down there. Stay down over there. Stay down.
Matt.
Yes, sir.
Watch him. He's ready for it. Get him. There he comes.
Here he comes, Matt.
You've got him. You've hit him. Hold it up. Hold it up. He's down.
Come on, Captain. Keep those people back. Keep them out of here.
Yes, we're okay, Captain. Bring in for an ambulance.
You all right, Novak?
Yes, Lieutenant, I'm okay.
How does he look, Sergeant?
He could be better, Captain. I think he's had it.
He got off the train. I walked behind him. I called to him to hold up. He turned on me, firing away.
Just when he didn't see the girl on the platform, he suspected something.
Hey, one of you ring it for an ambulance?
It's all taken care of, Sergeant.
Well, this is one tough baby we won't have to worry about anymore, Captain.
No, but don't be too hopeful, Matt. There'll be others.
First Precinct, Sergeant Waters. Stole your what? Yeah? Oh. Well, where was this? 643? Well, where was it? Uh-huh. Well, were the doors to the car locked? Well, how long were you away from the car? Yeah.
And so it goes. Around the clock, through the week, every day, every year. A police precinct in the city of New York is a flesh and blood merry-go-round. Anyone can catch the brass ring. Or the brass ring can catch anyone.
21st Precinct, a factual account of the way the police work in the world's largest city, is presented with the official cooperation of the Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, an organization of more than 20,000 members of the Police Department, City of New York. Everett Sloan in the role of Captain Kennelly, Ken Lynch as Lieutenant King. Featured in tonight's cast were Elspeth Eric, Harold Stone, John Sylvester, Bill Zuckert, Ralph Camargo, and John Gibson. Written and directed by Stanley Niss. Produced for CBS Radio by John Ives. Art Hanna speaking.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
got enough water in that tub, don't you think, huh, Frank?
After a few minutes, the amount of water doesn't matter much, Tiny.
We're wasting it now, don't you think?
So we're wasting it, so what?
Yeah, I guess we don't care. In our water bill. How's Joe doing?
He hasn't moved a finger for a couple of minutes. Maybe we better pull him out and have a look.
Yeah. Looks the same as before we pushed him under, don't you think?
Yeah, he does. We better keep him under a little longer.
Nice place Joe has here, don't you think?
Sure is. I always wanted to live upstate in one of these small towns. Trouble is, there isn't enough opportunity in a small place, huh?
Uh-oh, the phone.
Better answer it.
Okay.
If it's Smitty, tell him we'll see him in the city as soon as we get back, which ought to be early in the morning.
Okay. Hello, what you want?
Hello, I'd like to speak to Joe, please.
You want to speak to Joe, huh?
Yeah.
Just a minute. Hey, Frank.
Hmm?
It's a dame who wants to speak to Joe.
Wants to speak to Joe? Just a second. Too late. He's dead.
Okay. Hey, lady.
Yes?
Sorry, lady. Joe's out.
Oh, I see. This is Valerie Johnson. When'll he be back?
He didn't say. When he went out, he wasn't talking.
Well, is Frank Horton there?
No.
Well, when Joe comes back, will you tell him I called?
Okay, lady. I'll tell him when he comes in. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey, Frank. That was your fancy covering, don't you think? The dame wanted to know if you was here, but I said no.
You did right, Tiny. Now turn off the water, will you?
Okay.
Who was that, did you say?
Yeah, Valerie Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Joe's girl.
Hmm. What do we do with Joe? Leave him here for his girl to find?
No. We'll take him to the city with us tonight. Let's see. It's almost midnight now. If we leave right away, we ought to be in the city before it gets light.
Yeah, if we drive fast. But what do we do with Joe?
You call Smitty after I leave you, and the two of you dump him in the river. I have to go home and get some rest, or I'd help you.
What do you want to rest for, Frank? The big job we just pulled will keep us healed for a long time, don't you think?
Yeah, it should. But last time I stayed up all night, I slept all the next day. And I couldn't watch them feed the sea lions at the zoo. They get fed at 2:30 every afternoon.
Oh, what do you care if the sea lions get fed or not?
Tiny, my day isn't right unless I watch them jump after those fish. I tell you, my day just isn't right.
And now, on to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friend.
Hello?
Hello, Smitty. This is Tiny.
Oh, hiya. You and Frank back from Portico already?
Yeah. We just got in a couple of minutes ago, and Frank went home to get some sleep.
You got Joe with you?
Uh-huh. Frank says me and you were supposed to dump him in a river, and you'd know where.
Why the river?
Well, Joe's drowned. The river's a natural place for a drowned man to be, don't you think?
The river's no good, Tiny. You never know when a guy's going to turn up and embarrass you.
Yeah, that's right. How about the lake?
No, that's not fair to sailors and their girls out in the boats. Maybe we ought to take them back out in the country and dump them down a well. Yeah. Yeah, that's it, a well.
Well, Frank says we ought to dump Joe somewhere in the city where nobody will know him. And when Frank Horton says something, we do it, don't you think?
Sure, but let's not make it the river. Too many patrol boats these days, and they got cops watching the lake, too.
Hey! Wait a minute, Smitty.
Huh?
I got the perfect place to dump that body. Yeah, and what a joke it's going to be on Frank.
Well, Mary, here we are. Last stop, all out.
Thanks for the taking me shopping, Blackie. When my car is fixed, I'll take you sometime.
Well, let's not make it as early as this, though, huh?
Oh.
I don't mind getting out at 9 in the morning for you, but I'd just as soon not do it for myself.
You're just selfish, that's all? What are your plans for today?
Well, for one thing, there was a robbery and a murder last night. I heard it on the radio after you woke me up at that phone call.
Well, that means you're going to see Inspector Faraday?
That means I am not going to see the good inspector. I'm keeping away from police cases if I can. Especially as you and I have a 2 o'clock appointment this afternoon. A matinee,
oh,
remember?
Oh, Blackie, I'd forgotten all about that. We'll have to change the tickets for later in the week.
Why?
I promised Aunt Martha I'd take my niece to the zoo today.
Well, it's only 10 o'clock. It doesn't take all day to look around a zoo, does it?
Oh, I know, but little Helen wants to watch the sea lions being fed, and their feeding time is until 2:30.
What am I doing now, playing second fiddle to a bunch of fish-eating sea lions?
All right, be jealous if you want to. But you'll have to admit a sea lion has awful cute whiskers. You don't have to shave for 2 days, and I'll take Helen to see you. How's that?
Don't you ever miss watching me toss fish to the sea lions, Mr. Horton?
Wouldn't miss it for the world, Sam. Hey, Barco really had a jump for that one, didn't he?
Nah, he didn't have to. Big Barco just likes to show off. Here, watch what happens when I throw him this one.
He almost gobbled up little Junior going for that one.
With sea lions, fish come first and children later. Watch Daisy go for this.
Oh, bad throw. You made Daisy die for that one.
You think she doesn't love that? She got a big laugh from the crowd. I'm surprised she doesn't rear up and take a bow.
Hey, the kids sure go for the sea lions, don't they?
Yeah.
Look at them all. Hey, there's an awfully cute little tot. The one with that pretty girl over there by the rail?
That pretty girl is Mary Wesley. You know who she is?
Oh, who?
Boston Blackie's girl, that's who. The little doll's her niece. Brings her here every once in a while. Well, here's the last fish for the sea lions.
Throw this one to Barco, but make him go a long way for it.
Right. Here she goes.
Ah, that's my boy Barco did that. Went halfway across the pool for that one and gave his fans a splashing, too. He's some performer, that Barco.
If he's ever missing, I'll know where to find him in your bathtub.
Well, I guess the fun's over for today. Hey, what's the matter?
I don't know. Hey, Mr. Horton, look at the edge of the pool there.
Huh?
There's a body floating in the water. All right, Parker, get that crowd back and make it stay back. We've got to have room to operate. What's with the body, Connor?
He's dead. He's going to stay dead, Inspector Faraday.
I know that much. What can you tell me about him?
Well, I say this fellow's been dead at least 12 to 14 hours, maybe 16.
Oh. In that case, he died sometime between 10 last night and 2 this morning.
Right.
This zoo was locked up at 8 at night. It isn't open again till 8 the next morning. What did this guy sneak in here to commit suicide for? Or didn't he?
I guess so. He died by drowning. Suicides go to crazy lengths to kill themselves sometimes, Inspector.
Yeah.
You know who this fella is?
No identification on him. All we found on him was a gun. I sent it to the lab for tests.
Yeah?
I just wonder if this is the guy I'm looking for.
You mean the man who held up that warehouse safe and killed that guard yesterday?
I mean just that. He knew we were going to nab him sooner or later, so he turned yellow to beat the chair. They're all yellow, these tough guys with guns.
Hello, Faraday.
Oh, hello, Blackie. I'm glad to... Blackie, what are you doing here?
Well, it's a long story, Faraday. Where do you want me to begin?
At the end. Now go away. I got work to do.
And no brain to do it with. What'd this guy do? Jump in the sea lion's pool?
Yeah, but why?
Maybe he likes fish.
Maybe I don't like you. What do I mean, maybe? Blackie, for the first and the last time, beat it.
Oh, please, now, Inspector Faraday.
Miss Wesley, you too.
Yes, me too. In fact, I'm responsible for Blackie's being here. I was watching the sea lions when this man's body came to the surface, so I phoned Blackie.
Who is your dead friend, Faraday?
I don't know. But I suppose you do. He's just like you. Wet.
I never saw him before in his life. Was he drowned, shot, stabbed, or strangled?
He drowned himself.
You mean he slipped in here in the middle of the night, climbed high wire fences to drown himself in a sea lion's pool when there's a nice lake just outside the zoo?
How do you know he had to sneak in here to kill himself?
I heard the coroner tell you how long the man's been dead.
Okay, big ears. So what?
So I don't think this man died here.
Oh, he killed himself somewhere else and then walked here to be found, huh?
No, I don't think he killed himself. That's all. I think he was murdered and thrown in the bottom of this pool. You know, Faraday, you can't keep a good man down. That probably applies to a bad man, too.
Come in.
Here's the lab report on the body found in the sea lion pool, Inspector Faraday. I thought I'd bring it in myself.
Good, Bob. Thanks. I've been waiting for this. Ballistics show the gun we found on him is the gun that killed that warehouse guard, all right?
Yeah?
I say the guy killed himself because he was yellow. All right, what's the report saying?
Well, I was right, Inspector. The man died somewhere between 10 and 12 midnight last night.
Uh-huh. Dead 14 to 16 hours when we found him.
Mm-hmm.
That means he slipped into the zoo to kill himself because he knew the place would be deserted. Go on, Bob.
Well, water found in the man's body is a far different type than the water found here. Its iron content is 90% greater than ours.
Huh? What does that mean?
That means our man didn't die in the sea lion pool, Inspector, because he drowned in water the likes of which isn't found within a radius of 150 miles of here.
Well, I'll be it. That Blackie is always right. This means the guy was murdered. Now I have two killings on my hands instead of one. I don't even know who this victim is.
It's going to be tough to identify, too, Inspector. There wasn't even a laundry mark in his clothes. We don't have his prints on file, neither does the FBI.
That's a big help. That means the only thing we know so far is that the gun on him is the gun that killed that warehouse guard. We don't know where the guy was killed. We don't know who he is. We don't know who killed him. We don't know why he was killed. Now, I could go on like this forever.
Why don't you, Faraday? At least it'll give you something to do.
Blackie, get out of here. I got problems.
Well, tell him to me. I was a problem child.
I suppose you're pretty proud of yourself because you knew that guy in the sea lion pool was murdered.
No, it was only a guess, Faraday. Just didn't look like a good place for a guy to kill himself. You see, if I were going to commit suicide, I wouldn't pick a sea lion pool.
Oh, you wouldn't. But I got news for you. Go pick any place you like to do it. It'll be okay with me.
Faraday.
Yeah?
You've got an unsolved murder on your hands. I've got a few seconds on my hands. We'll put the two together and see if we can't come up with a handsome solution to this case.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. A man is killed by drowning in a bathtub in a small upstate town. His killers take his body to the city, where they dump it in the sea lion pool at the zoo. When the body is found, it looks like suicide, until laboratory tests prove what Boston Blackie suspected, that the man was murdered a long way from the zoo. Only identification on the body is a gun, which turns out to have been used the previous day to kill a guard during a warehouse robbery. As we return to our story, Blackie is in his apartment with his friend, Mary Wesley.
Oh, Blackie, a fine afternoon this has been. Do you know how many phone calls you've made?
I'm waiting for a return call on number 18 right now, Mary.
And why? Because you think out of all the towns upstate that have water with a high iron content, you can find one where a man is missing. And you can do it in one afternoon.
One afternoon and 100 phone calls. The afternoon is long. Oh, here's the call I've been waiting for. I hope.
I hope you'll give up.
Hello.
Hello, Boston Blackie, is it?
Yes, this is Blackie.
This is Chief Williams of the Portuck Police. You put in a call to me, did you?
Yes, I did, Chief Williams. Tell me, do you have any recent report of a missing person in your town?
I sure do. Joe Adams. You found him, have you?
I don't know. What does Joe Adams look like?
Ooh, tallish, black hair, light complexion, long, slight crooked nose.
That's the Joe we found, then, Chief.
Good. He's got his girlfriend to dither. She's been calling me every hour since last night trying to get me to locate him, she has.
Will you tell his girlfriend that... No. Now, wait a minute. What's his girl's name?
Johnson. Valerie Johnson. Nice girl. Prettiest thing in Portuck. Crazy about Joe, she was.
Well, you tell her that Miss Wesley and I are going up to Portuck. Miss Johnson must have liked Joe Adams. Maybe she can tell us who didn't. I'm sorry Chief Williams went into such detail about your boyfriend's death, Miss Johnson. I was just going to tell you that he was killed.
He didn't commit suicide, Blackie.
No, Miss Johnson. Inspector Faraday told me that the test showed that the water in which he drowned was not the same as the water in the city, but was the kind of water you have in this section of the state.
And he was killed here?
Here and here. Do you know who could have killed him, Miss Johnson?
No, I don't.
Well, do you have any idea why he was dumped in the sea lion pool at the city zoo?
No, not the slightest. Joe told me he was in trouble, but I had no idea it was as serious as this.
Well, what did he say, Miss Johnson?
Nothing that I could understand.
I see.
He said he'd fallen into bad company, but that it would be all right pretty soon. Oh, my handkerchief. I'm sorry.
Oh, here. I'll pick it up. There you are.
Thank you.
You and Joe were going to be married soon?
Yes, this week.
Uh-huh. Well, Chief Williams told me Joe had no family. Do you want to come to the city with me and take charge of the body?
I suppose someone ought to.
Good. I'll wait outside with my friend, Miss Wesley, while you pack some things, and we'll drive you down.
All right. I won't be long.
Take your time.
Poor girl. She must feel awful.
Well, she sounds it, doesn't she, Mary?
I could hear her out here, and she'll have to stop crying, Blackie, or she'll be exhausted.
That girl wasn't crying. She was acting. Her handkerchief was completely dry when I picked it up.
No tears?
Not one. Mary, that girl is in this thing right up to her eyes.
Come in.
Hiya, Frank. You sent for me? What you want?
You know what I want, Tiny.
Are you sore or something?
Of course I'm sore. Of all the stupid places to dump Joe's body.
Oh, that was a good joke, don't you think?
It was a stupid joke because you don't think. Whose idea was that? Yours or Smitty's?
Mine. Smitty said the river or lake was no good, Frank. Too many cars.
Well, you could have taken him out in the country to dump him. I nearly had heart failure when he popped up in a sea lion pool.
Well, look, Frank, what diff did it make where we dumped him? He'd pop up sooner or later, and he didn't talk when he dragged him out of the sea lion pool, did he?
I suppose the gimmick worked all right. Last I heard, the police thought it was suicide because of the gun they found on him.
Yeah, good thing the gun you killed that guard with was a stolen gun. Now the cops think Joe stole the gun and killed himself because they were looking for him for murder, don't you think?
Well, Tiny, I could kill you for tossing his body in a sea lion pool.
Oh, that's talking sort of tough, don't you think?
You know how I like it at the pool. And you were even hoping Joe's body would pop up while I was there, weren't you?
Well, Smitty and I got a laugh out of it, Frank. We was there over by the monkey case. You sure did jump.
I don't like your sense of humor, Tiny. And maybe I'm getting so I don't like you.
Now, look here, Frank.
Tiny, I told you and Smitty to dump that body, not throw it in my face. You think I like to look at a man I just killed?
Well, nobody asked you to kill him.
I killed Joe because I had to, and for your sake as much as mine. He wanted to go to police after I killed that guard at the warehouse. Said he didn't bargain for murder when he went in on that job.
None of us bargained for murder, Frank. You didn't have to kill that guard. You could have just slugged him.
After he got a good look at me? Oh, no.
Well, if he didn't see me or Smitty or Joe, we could have got away and saved your dope boy until you got out.
You'd like it if I got a murder rap, wouldn't you, Tiny?
Oh,
you
no.
You and Smitty could divide the whole 100,000 just two little ways.
Nah, Frank.
Well, maybe I'm going to divide it one way and make sure there's nobody who saw me kill that. What time is it?
10 minutes after two. So what?
So I can just make it to the zoo by 2:30. My day isn't right unless I see those sea lions fed. I tell you, my day just isn't right.
I beg your pardon, but you're the keeper attached to the sea lion pool, aren't you?
That's right. Who are you?
You wouldn't know me. My name is Boston Blackie.
Boston Blackie? And you think I wouldn't know you? I know all about you. What can I do for you, Blackie?
That fish you're loading in the basket there, that's for the sea lions, isn't it?
Yeah, I feed them in about 5 minutes. Why?
I want to take over for you today.
What?
See that girl over by the sea lion pool?
Well, yeah.
I followed her here. I know she's waiting for someone. I want that uniform you're wearing and the basket of fish. And with the help of this phony mustache I'm carrying while I'm throwing fish for the sea lions to catch, I'm going to catch a killer.
I wonder where the keeper is. It's 2:30.
Hello, Frank.
Huh? Oh, Valerie. What are you doing here in town?
Surprised to see me?
Kinda.
I didn't know where you lived, but I knew I'd find you here. Joe used to tell me how you always come down here every day.
Oh, he did he? You want to know? Wait a minute. There's the guy who feeds the sea lions. I've been waiting for him. Hello there.
Hey.
Hey, you're not the regular keeper.
Nope, that's right. He's sick. What about it?
Nothing. I'm Frank Horton. He was going to let me help him feed Barco and the other sea lions.
Not today, mister. He'll be back tomorrow. See him then. And don't bother me. I'm busy. Chow time, sea lions. Here. Catch.
Frank, forget those sea lions for a minute. I want to talk to you.
I know. You want to know where Joe is? Well, I haven't the slightest idea. He left after we split the dope at a warehouse, Joe.
Don't kid me, Frank. I know he's dead. And that you killed him.
Keep your voice down, you fool.
Oh, that keeper can't hear. Even if he could, he wouldn't know what we were talking about. I'm not going to the police, Frank. About Joe, I mean.
Go on.
Joe was supposed to get $20,000 out of that job. I don't imagine he did. I imagine I will. If I don't, then I go to the police. Well?
I think we can make a deal.
You two are pretty stupid to talk murder when I'm around.
Frank, he's no zookeeper. That's Boston Blackie with a phony mustache.
Oh, really? Well, what do you know? And Blackie, what do you know about this? Come on, Valerie. Blackie's out. Now let you and I get out. Fast.
You remember remember what to say now, Mary?
Well, sure, yes.
And can you remember how to say it?
Well, I drove all the way down to Pawtucket with Valerie Johnson, didn't I?
Well, yes, you did, but...
All right, now, shh, hold on.
So is my head from that sock I got at the pool.
Hello?
Frank?
Yeah?
This is Valerie.
Oh, you found out where I live, did you?
Uh-huh. I'm a clever girl. Too clever to want any part of any of this. I'm going to the cops.
Are you? What for?
You know what for. I'm going to tell them everything I know, and I know a lot.
Look, Valerie, where are you?
In the Park Hotel.
Stay there. I'll be up in an hour.
Oh, Blackie, it worked.
He fell for it, huh?
He'll be in Valerie Johnson's room in an hour.
Perfect. And I'll be there waiting for him.
Hello?
Hello, Valerie. This is Frank.
Oh, yes, Frank.
Valerie, did you just phone me?
No, I didn't.
I didn't think so. I thought that was just one of Boston Blackie's tricks.
What's up?
Blackie is on his way up to your room.
On his way up here? How do you know?
Some girl phoned me just a minute ago pretending to be you and saying she was going to the police. I knew you wouldn't do that to me.
What I do to you depends on what you do for me.
I'll take care of you, honey. But first, we got to take care of Boston Blackie.
Porter, how soon can you get that trunk out of here?
Practically right away, Miss Johnson. Practically right away. Yeah, I got on the rolls now and just waiting for the guy who helps me.
Well, go tell him to hurry up or I'll miss my train.
Yes, ma'am. I'm practically on my way to tell him, Miss Johnson. You mind if I leave the door open?
No, that's all right, but hurry up, will you?
I'm practically hurrying as fast as I can now, Miss Johnson. I'll be back in just a minute.
See if I forgot me. Porter, I thought you were...
Porter didn't close the door, Miss Johnson. I did.
Blackie.
May I come in?
I don't know why not. You're already in.
And I see you're on your way out. Trunk is ready to be rolled away and everything.
Yes, I'm leaving.
Is this your trunk?
No, it's not.
It is your trunk, Miss Valerie. You live here most of the time, don't you? Or did live here. You've been posing as a little country girl living a quiet life in Pawtucket, but actually you've been down here doing something crooked, I guarantee.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
That
trunk, Miss Johnson, is yours. You certainly didn't bring one with you when we drove down from Pawtucket today.
All right, so I have been living here part of the time. So what?
So nothing. But thanks for being such a big help to me. You led me to Joe's killer, and when you led me to Frank Horton, you did exactly that.
Don't turn around, Blackie, or my gun may get gay.
Uh-oh. Frank, you must be part cat. You came out of that closet without a sound.
Well, Horton, I thought I was going to wait for you, but it seems that you've been waiting for me.
You don't think I fell for that phone call from your girlfriend, do you?
Well, I was hoping you would. Would have made things a lot simpler.
Things from now on are going to be very simple, Blackie. We'll go out the back way, down the stairs, and out to my car where Tiny and Smitty are waiting to take you for a sightseeing tour.
Oh, you're taking me somewhere, are you?
Sending you somewhere, Blackie.
Properly stamped, but with no return address.
That's right. And don't think they'll ever trace your death to us either. Miss Johnson's trunk is packed and ready to go. Only you're going first and like a nice boy.
Look, who's talking about being a nice boy? Nice boys don't point guns and kill people the way you killed a nice boy like Joe.
Nice boys don't turn yellow and want to run to the police because a guard was killed.
Oh, that's why you killed Joe, is it? He wanted to go to the police because you killed that guard.
That's right. Now, Blackie, let's move.
I'm not moving. That truck's moving right at you.
Blackie,
you can't shoot straight either, can you, Horton?
Yes, I can.
You don't get another chance for you.
Open up in there, Blackie. Come on, open up.
Come on in, Faraday. And Valerie, you better be a good girl and a quiet
one. Okay,
what's going on in here? Hey, you sound as if you expected me.
After I left my apartment, I told Mary to phone you and tell you where I was. There's your killer, Faraday. The man who killed Joe and also that warehouse guard. There's two boys downstairs.
We'll get them. So this guy spilled everything, huh?
Yes, after he was spilled by this trunk.
Nice going, Blackie. Hey, this trunk is on wheels.
Yes. It was just about to be carried out. What do you say we do the honors with Horton here instead?